Hey guys, welcome to our sixth video with the lamp. My name's Joshua. I'm an inquisitive high school student wanting to learn about God and share him with you. And today I have my friend Isaac.
Yeah, I'm Isaac Whitman. I'm the campus missionary at Christian Challenge at Missouri Western State University. And then Joshua and I mostly know each other through church here.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get it.
Welcome to the lamp.
Alrighty, so with New Year's coming up, we kind of thought it would be a good idea to like make a video about like how to accomplish like a good goal, a good biblical goal, or just like a goal in your life, you know? So normally with like our format of our videos, we'll like ask like what is something and like how does it apply? But since most of us know what like a goal is, I think what we're gonna talk about is like what makes a goal good, and then how to act out that good goal that we have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think especially as we're talking about goals with this, I personally don't really love doing New Year's resolutions because I'll end up putting off things, or if I mess up in the first 2 weeks, then I just forget about it. So I like to talk about setting goals in general and just starting them when you think of them rather than waiting and, oh, I'll do that at the new year, because that means I don't really want to do it. So that's part of why we're talking about goals in general rather than specifically New Year's resolutions. But New Year's is a good time to think about some goal setting.
That is so real. Because like for me, like if I like started like a Bible reading plan, like sometimes like that like first month, I tend to make it past my birthday, which is in late January. And I was like, let's go. I'm on time by my birthday. But then like it tends to be like in February, like always. If it's like a Bible reading plan, I'll mess it up, and then I'll be like, oh, I'm so behind, I can't recover from it.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Kind of goofy.
Yeah, and that's kind of the running joke with New Year's resolutions, is that once you fall behind or once you fail on it, you're done for the year, and so you end up having the same New Year's resolutions every year. So that's why we're talking about goals in general. And so, yeah, it just helps to think, what exactly makes a good goal? And how should we set goals, I think, is what we kind of wanted to talk about.
Yep. All right. So I think like kind of what we're going to focus on is like how we think of these goals biblically.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a really important category for us to think about, because if we're Christians, that should impact every area of our lives.
Right.
And so we can talk about, you know, trying to lose weight for the glory of God. And so as we think about goals biblically, we have to think about, why do we want to accomplish the goal? How does it glorify God? And then how does it point us to God? Are there some good questions? There's certainly more than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so down to like the individual section of those three things that you just said.
Yeah.
The why do you want to accomplish this goal? How does it glorify God? How does it point you to God? Let's talk about like why you want to accomplish the goal.
Yeah, I think that's a good place to start, is just assessing and analyzing your motives. Just because, you know, there's a bunch of different reasons, or literally infinite reasons, of why you could want to accomplish something. So even if we take the stereotypical example of a New Year's resolution, like I want to work out, I want to get in shape. You know, there's a variety of reasons. You know, I'm newly married, so maybe I could want to get in shape to please and honor my wife. That could be a decent goal. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, especially for somebody that's single, they're like, no, I need to get in shape so that I can get a girlfriend or boyfriend. Okay, I can understand that. Probably not the best reasoning. Maybe it's just so that they can be like, no, like, I want to be in shape so that I look good and people get jealous of how muscular I am. And I'm like, that's probably not a great goal. And so there's, all of those have the same goal of getting in shape, getting disciplining your body, disciplining your body in order to be able to do different activities or whatever. Maybe you want to be in shape so that you can be better at Ultimate Frisbee. I definitely have had a season in that. And so there's a variety of goals or reasons behind that same goal of trying to get in shape. But some of those are much more lasting. Some of those are much more substantial. They have a lot more merit to them. But ultimately, as Christians, all of our goals need to go back to glorifying God. Mm-hmm. That should be our goal with the entire life, our entire lives.
And I think that like also like your motive behind the goal also helps with your drive, like your actual physical drive.
Yeah.
To achieve that goal.
Like, yeah.
Maybe if I want to work out so that I am a really good D lineman for my football team, then I might have a little bit more drive to mm-hmm. to get bigger and stronger and drink my protein shake every day than I would if I was like if I was trying to like maybe I don't know get a girlfriend I know
yeah.
like something like that like if I was in trying to impress somebody like
yeah
there's also like that drive also plays into like if you really want to glorify God mm-hmm. then in your heart of hearts like deep inside of you if that's really your drive then I mm-hmm. feel like your goals are going to be easier to achieve if I want to read my Bible every single day from today till next year mm-hmm. it's not New Year's yet obviously
yeah.
But like if that's what I want to do and my goal isn't to be the know-it-all who just knows everything about the Bible, which sometimes I have a reputation for. If my goal is to seek a relationship with God, to know God, mm-hmm. then maybe my drive will be a little bit better and I will learn more even as I read.
Yeah, yeah. There's certainly a lasting power behind having a goal to honor and glorify God in your actions as opposed to literally anything else.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of missionaries. There's a missionary that went to the New Hebrides Islands that was known for having cannibals that were there. And there's a guy, as he was going there, a man told him, basically, don't go. You'll mm-hmm. be eaten by cannibals. And his reply was, I don't care if I get eaten by cannibals or buried in the dirt here and eaten by worms. He said it a little bit more harshly than that, or descriptively, I guess. And I don't have the quote memorized off the top of my head. But the point being, he was motivated to go. And he could accomplish that goal because he wasn't concerned about pleasing the people that were around him there. He wasn't even necessarily concerned with like getting approval and getting a lot of people saved to know Jesus there in the New Hebrides. His goal was to glorify God and make God's name known. And so that was a much more lasting goal and reason behind his goal was to glorify God. And it made me think of 1 Corinthians 10:31. Says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so this is talking specifically in the context of eating, whether your conscience is bound in some other things that aren't as relevant to our culture. But just this point of whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. You know, I had heard somebody say once, can you drink orange juice to the glory of God? Yes, you can, right? As you're drinking orange juice, thanking God for that orange juice, recognizing that he created all of this, he provided all the circumstance. There's a lot to worship God for, even in orange juice. But there's that idea of whatever we do, do all to the glory of God, which I think is the other part of that goal of that's the biggest, most powerful why behind any goal that we can set.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that you can't have other reasons underlying that.
Right.
But that should be the primary driving factor.
Yeah, it's like if you truly have like your priorities correct in your life and you've got like God, family, friends, you know, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Then I feel like that's going to be natural
yeah.
as well.
Yeah.
With the goal, like you're going to want
yeah.
to put God first in your life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think our next point is like how does it point you to God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so I think that that's just the other, it's kind of two sides of the same coin, but if mm-hmm. if you're setting a goal and wanting to glorify God in it, then ultimately as you accomplish that goal, it should be directing you back to Christ mm-hmm. and looking back to Christ. So again, just taking the stereotypical example of working out, even as you're setting this goal of, I want to discipline my body and get in shape so that I can maintain my body better so that I can steward my body well and be able to do ministry for a long time, or so that I can go out and serve the homeless, whatever the God glorifying goal in that is. It ultimately, as you do that, it should also point you back to God.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there's some goals that are like obviously pointing you
yeah.
to God. Like
yeah.
like say I want to pray every night,
mm-hmm.
you know, or I want to read my Bible every day. I want to mm-hmm. read a chapter of my Bible every day. Like obviously yeah. that's pointing you to God.
Yeah.
But then there's also other things. Like I feel like you could say that working out, mm-hmm. like you said with the orange juice, like anything can point you to God if you appreciate it and look at it correctly.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like last year I had a buddy, I'm not gonna name drop. Odds are he'll never watch this. But I had a buddy who said his New Year's resolution was to wear a clean pair of underwear every single day. Which is, all right, like for some of us, like that's a rather typical thing. But that was that was his New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
Like I feel like even with a New Year's resolution like that, or like just a goal, like just a goal like that, like man, I really like, and I'm kind of noticing that I'm starting to smell. You know, I kind of want to wear a new pair of underwear every day. You can do that to the glory of God. Like I kind of like to pull this verse into everything, but it is my favorite Bible verse. It's my favorite Bible verse for a reason. Mm-hmm. I think we have it in our notes for later as well.
Yeah.
But it's Romans 12:1, which says, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, for this is your true spiritual worship. Maybe if I'm keeping my body clean, maybe if I'm working out every day, then like that, like I'm keeping my body in a way that it's presentable to God.
Yeah.
Like this body is given for me.
Yeah.
Like from God. Like it's not my own. Why should I not take care of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And we want to take care of it well. I mean, even just thinking of like that example of clean underwear, I know that like there have certainly been times when I, you know, got back from a run or something, I could tell that somebody didn't really want to talk to me because I was stinky and I needed to take a shower. And that, you know, hypothetically, it could be a barrier to even a gospel conversation.
That's true.
And like, so just everything can and should be connected back to how are we glorifying God in this? How are we sacrificing ourselves and our own desires for the sake of of God's kingdom and his glory mm-hmm. rather than our own? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that also kind of makes me think about this book that I read by John Piper called Desiring God. I was actually looking back here earlier, and there's a copy here in the office. Oh, that book fell. But it's Desiring God by John Piper. But it just talks about this idea that God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. Mm. That the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying him forever. And so this idea that as we're going about life, God is most glorified when we are most satisfied in him. And so we should pursue God in order to be satisfied in him. And in doing so, we are actually glorifying God. Mm-hmm. And so that transition to this idea of goals, specifically why it made me think of this, is setting our goals not for ourselves and not so that we can attain momentary satisfaction, but lasting satisfaction in Christ. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of these where, you know, again, that stereotypical example of fitness, we have to deny ourselves and say, hey, no, I'm not going to eat that half gallon of ice cream in one sitting.
Oh, man.
Instead, I'm going to have, you know, a small bowl and enjoy it a little bit, but I'm going to deny that for the longer term pleasure and satisfaction of not being overweight anymore or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, disciplining our bodies and going and working out hard. It's not easy. But we're making that sacrifice because we see the long-term value and the worth of it. Similarly, in pursuing God, you know, we have to sacrifice what we might enjoy in some sin for what is lasting pleasure, and that is knowing God. So mm-hmm. I just think that that idea of God being glorified by us being satisfied in him mm-hmm. Is just a helpful concept as we're thinking about this, because it's not just, hey, I have to serve God, I know that this is what I'm supposed to do, but actually there is ultimate joy found in following Christ and glorifying him and setting our goals in such a way that we are glorifying God. There is so much more lasting joy and pleasure and peace in that than just saying, hey, no, I know that this is my obligation. I have to sacrifice for these things, but there's joy in that sacrifice as well.
Right. And kind of like with that sacrifice, like I said earlier, it was in our notes for later, but like our bodies are that living sacrifice. Like we are meant to be holy and acceptable for God. Like mm-hmm. we can worship with just our being, like in a way.
Yeah.
Like a form of worship is to keep myself, like my words, my thoughts, my actions, mm-hmm. My just like everything, my cleanliness, like that is holy in God's eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, doing it all for the sake of Christ. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this is a decent point. I think we've pretty well covered the ideas of principally why do we set goals? Mm-hmm. What's the reasoning behind them? How do we glorify God in those goals?
Yeah, and if it kind of sounds like we're like echoing the same thing, like saying it in different ways, maybe that can help you understand. Or maybe that's just because like it's so important that like you focus your mind on the things of God. You focus your mind on how does something glorify God. You focus your mind on how something points you to God. All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
So next we're going to talk about a sort of an acronym.
Yeah.
Right? Do you want to talk about that or do you want me to talk about it?
Are you familiar with it?
I am familiar with it.
Yeah, Rocket. You got it.
Okay. So this acronym, I've heard, I learned about it from like multiple YouTube videos or something talking about goals. You said you learned it in the public school system, right?
Yeah, public school in Lincoln, Nebraska.
All right. Awesome. Well, the acronym is SMART. If you're literate, you know that smells smart. Or unless you're dyslexic like me. that means stands for your goals are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time bound. You kind of want to like narrow in on each of those?
Sure, yeah. So the specific goal is just saying, rather than saying, hey, I want to read more, it's getting a little bit more specific of, no, I want to read my Bible more. Mm-hmm. I want to read a couple theology books. I want to read some fiction. I want to read the Chronicles of Narnia. Getting specific with your goal helps because, you know, even with the general goal of, hey, I want to read my Bible more, that's great. That's a huge book to start reading. So saying, I want to read one chapter of the Bible, and that actually kind of translates mm-hmm. into that second point of measurable. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about that one?
Sure. Like making sure a goal is measurable is like say I play tennis, right? I don't actually play tennis. I'm horrible at tennis. But let's pretend for a minute I do. Say every day, I practice tennis a little bit, and I never really have like a set amount. I have a wall outside, and I have my racket, and I have a ball, and I just hit the ball against the wall just for reps. Maybe something that can over time I could get like without a set amount of hits that I want or a set mm-hmm. amount of time that I want to practice for, like I may drift away from like my original intent. I may not have that same drive. As I did at the beginning of whenever I made that goal, because I didn't set a measurement for my goal.
Yeah, so if you set a measurable goal of saying you need 30 minutes, I'm going to go outside and practice tennis for 30 minutes every day, will help you to discipline yourself and actually accomplish that goal rather than just saying, I'm going to practice tennis. Well, I practiced tennis for about 10 seconds. I hit the ball twice and then I left. It's not accomplishing the same thing. So. Right. Or equivalent, you know, reading scripture. I want to read one chapter every day, or mm-hmm. I want to accomplish one day of the reading plan every day. Or, you know, example, you know, working out, saying I'm going to do this many reps, just getting a specific and setting a number so that you can say this is something that I can do. Mm-hmm. And then making sure that number is attainable. That's
right.
That A portion.
Yeah.
It's you can accomplish it.
Mm-hmm. I think the other day whenever we were talking about what we were going to talk about today, mm-hmm. You'd mentioned I want to read a book of the Bible a day. Like maybe that works for three books. Like if you want to read Jude, Philemon, First, Second, Third John.
Yeah.
Maybe you can read a book of the Bible a day because those are all under four chapters. But whenever you get to oops, only Psalms is left.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be in for it.
It's going to take you a couple hours.
It's not attainable. It's measurable. It's specific, but it's not, mm-hmm. it's not attainable.
Yeah. So just keeping it attainable so that you can actually accomplish it. You know, let's say you said you wanted to practice tennis for 16 hours a day.
Yes.
That means you can't work. That's basically all you're doing except for sleeping. And so that's, for most people, that's not an attainable goal unless you're planning to be an Olympic caliber tennis player. So setting it so that it's attainable and you can get it done within the realm of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it is relevant. Which really, I don't think we necessarily need to spend a lot of time, but it's basically, is it relevant to you? Is it something that you want to do, right? So I'm not going to necessarily expect some of my friends who are atheists and don't believe in the Bible to say they want to read 3 chapters of the Bible every day. Well, they don't care about that at this point.
Right.
Why should I expect them to do that?
Or,
go ahead. Yeah.
Or like the tennis thing. Yeah. Like practicing tennis is not relevant to me. Like, tennis is fun. I've enjoyed playing a few games of tennis, but I'm not in a tennis league.
Yeah.
I'm not a tennis player. Like, yeah. It's specific, measurable, attainable, but it's not relevant.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, doesn't have a big point in my life. I've got a buddy who's a very, very talented tennis player.
Yeah.
He went to, like, pickleball nationals recently, and, like, maybe practicing pickleball for, like, 3 or 4 hours a day, that's relevant to him.
Yeah.
But it's not relevant to me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then you have the last one is the T is time bound. So simply putting a time marker on that, whether if you're going to say like, I'm going to do it every day, or I'm going to accomplish this goal. I'm going to lose 20 pounds before March. Ambitious. Maybe that's not attainable. I haven't thought about weight loss goals, but setting a time barrier of I'm going to do this every day, or I'm going to do this 5 days a week. I know some people who set the goal of I'm going to read my Bible 5 days a week, because I know on the weekends my schedule is different than during the weekdays, and so I have a hard time with that. So I'm going to say that I'm just going to do it 5 days a week. If I get in the sixth and seventh, that's great. Mm-hmm. But I'm setting the goal for 5 days a week because I know that I can just build that into my routine before I go into work or before I go to school.
Right.
And so just setting that time boundary to help hold yourself accountable.
Yeah. And maybe it's one of the days, like of the week, maybe on Wednesday, you mm-hmm. forgot to read your Bible. Well, I can still keep up with my goal of reading 5 days a week and not feel like I'm behind,
yeah.
not have that stumbling block of like, oh no, I missed a day.
Yeah.
Now I have to quit, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. Like, I'm not going to have the same thing. I can set some time aside on Saturday.
Yeah.
Read a chapter of the Bible, you know, something like that.
Absolutely.
So,
and then that wraps around, just as we're thinking about these making smart goals, mm-hmm. The specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. It also just made me think of a couple of different passages in Scripture that talk about making plans or working on different things. And so one of those is Colossians 3:23. I think you have that.
Yeah. I have that right here. So like, it's kind of talking about like working unto the Lord and like not for man, not for ourselves.
Yeah.
So it says in verse 23 to 25, it says, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality." It's kind of condemning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't think about that beforehand. But on the goal side.
Yeah.
Like, just like making sure, like we've kind of like been talking about a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Like, if you work for God, like if your focus is on God,
mm-hmm.
Then that goal is so much like it fits. I mean, it fits within the smart yeah. goals, obviously, but it also like it's got a reason. It's got a drive, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. There's a deeper level of accountability even to it because you know God is present all the time, everywhere, and so there's the accountability of, yeah, I want to work to glorify God. And I'm also aware that God is always watching how I'm working, mm-hmm. whatever I'm doing. And so I want to make sure that when I'm working hard. When I'm resting, I'm actually resting. I want to make sure that I'm doing all of these things, not just to please the eye of man and not get fired from my job, but actually to glorify God and make God's name great because of the way that I'm working and saying that I'm working for him.
Mm-hmm. That kind of makes me think. I've got a friend who we were taking these like standardized tests for our school that like basically rate what we've been taught over the semester. So like kind of as the semester was wrapping up, we were taking them, and our teacher happened to mention that for seniors, these tests have absolutely no relevance. And I had a friend who was like, "Oh, shoot! Because of that, I'm just gonna press." There was an option at the bottom of the question that said, "I don't know this yet," so he just pressed it on almost all of the questions. He was halfway through, man. And then he was like, wait a second. He kind of thought, he was like, what about Colossians 3:23? He's like, I'm not working unto the Lord, am I? And like, this is something I respect a lot about him. Like, he was like, well, I better give this my all because I'm working and I'm going to do it for God.
Yeah.
So he finished the test, and he did it, like, focusing on God. And that's super cool.
Yeah, like, that is really cool.
So, yeah.
Even the conviction in the moment.
Yeah.
And then one of the last things we wanted to talk about, Proverbs 16:9. You've got that pulled up. It's a proverb. I honestly forget the reference of it all the time, so we definitely had to look it up before. But it just talks about this idea that humans can plan our ways, but the Lord directs our steps. So we can look ahead and plan and say, hey, I think I want to go this way, and I want to step right here and here. But God is ultimately one who will direct our steps and actually put us on the path where we need to be.
Yeah. And, I mean, the actual verse, you basically just said it says, the heart of the man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. And, like, kind of like as we're talking about these goals, like maybe you have, like a big goal for your life. Maybe you want to get accepted into this college. You want to get this degree. You want to do this with your life. Maybe you already have some of those things accomplished. Maybe you want a family. Maybe you want kids. Maybe you want to become the CEO of Tesla. I don't know. Small goals, you know.
Yeah.
President of the United States. But as I desire for that, like my heart is really wanting to go become a nursing student, maybe. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And God gives us these like desires. He gives us these things for a reason. I would argue.
Yeah.
Like as I want this, like maybe after I get that degree, then I go overseas and I help, like a short-term missionary, like helping kids with their physical medical needs or something like that. That's just like an example from my life. Like God can use our desires for these things for a reason.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. And I think specifically that Proverbs 16:9, the heart of man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. It's just a helpful reminder as we think about goals and especially maybe not accomplishing goals the way we thought we would, or, you know, life circumstance gets in the way. Certainly don't want to say like we can just make excuses for everything, but also God is perfectly in control. And so he allows certain things to happen for a reason. And so, like you said, part of my story is that I came down to Missouri Western to study wildlife management and then to head out to the west in the mountains and find a cabin and manage wildlife and hopefully never talk to another person again. I was the most introverted, shy kind of person. And so that was my plan. I had it all planned out and I had my life planned out. But God did use different life circumstances to direct my steps to where he actually wants me, which at least for right now is here doing college ministry, helping out at church, getting to sit and talk with Joshua. And that plan that God had is far greater than my own. I'm way more satisfied, I have way more purpose doing this here, and I enjoy it way more than I would have being out counting deer and trying to figure out how to manage some grasses.
Mm-hmm.
It's also super fun. I love wildlife management still. But that to say, it's helpful to set plans and make goals, and it's great. But if we hold onto them tightly rather than opening up our hands and saying, this is all for God's glory, and so if he decides to change it, that's okay. Especially as we think about those long-term life goals.
Right.
It's helpful to think about that God establishes our steps. We are a living sacrifice, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. Romans 12:1. So when we do that, it opens us and it gives us the freedom to strive for goals, but it also gives us the freedom that, okay, something's changing here. I'm working for God's glory and not just to accomplish this goal, so I'll be okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go and try to pursue God.
Yeah, I kind of like what you said about the hands, like you've got your hands open with like your life in them. I've heard an analogy of you don't want to reach out and try to grab stuff from the air.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to have your hands down like this where mm-hmm. you can't receive anything.
Yeah.
But you just kind of want to have like the in-between of like having your arms open, say like, God, do with my life what you will, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a super cool mindset to have, super cool.
Yeah.
To see that acted out in your life. It's super awesome.
Yeah. So, God's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So. All right. I think that's all we got, right?
Cool. I think so.
All righty. So thank you so much for watching or listening, getting to this point in the video. We really hope this helps with maybe your New Year's resolution, maybe just a goal in general. Thank you so much for watching. We appreciate you. And this has been The Lamp.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Thanks, y'all.
This has been The Lamp.
What if I move this halfway through? Do you think anybody would notice?
Oh, you'll have to see. Yeah, just do it.
That'd be funny.
Because it doesn't really matter.
Good.
Yeah.